What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Welcome into The Drive. Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is happy to be here as well. We got a lot to get into. I wish that we could put the Royals on the back burner because everything is clinched and we are simply playing out the string. They will not let that happen. They continue to lose games. They have now put themselves in quite the pickle. They are two games up right now in the third wild card spot with nine games to go. The Royals have none of the momentum. The Tigers have all of the momentum, and the Tigers have the White Sox still on the schedule. So we are going to lead with baseball. We're going to do that here coming up in just a bit. We are going to get you ready for Sunday Night Football. We got Thursday Night Football today. Aaron Rodgers goes up against the New England Patriots. So there's a lot happening in the world of sports, but the Royals, they demand our attention. They could blow this thing. We'll get to the Royals here coming up in a bit, but before we do that, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they've taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether you're hungry and you want a whole pie, or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends, but I need you to tell one friend that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, and you're also hopeful that the Royals are going to make the postseason, the best place to do that is with us right here on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. The Royals are 7-15 in their last 22 games. The Royals that had a commanding lead of the wild card, they really have screwed the pooch on this thing. All they needed to do was to get one. They didn't need to get two. Three would have been incredible. They needed to get one. They didn't get one. They even had a game in which Bobby Witt Jr. hit a grand slam. They did nothing with it. Since the grand slam, the Royals have scored five runs in the last 25 innings. They could blow this thing. But you know what? I'm not here to tell you something that you don't already know. I am here to offer up hope. I am here to continue to give you guys the math. Rob keeps using this term, tread water, to me. That is not what the Royals have been doing. The Royals are currently drowning. We need to throw them a life raft. So this tweet comes from Royals Review. If the Royals finish the season 4-5, they have nine games left. If they can just play slightly under 500 baseball the rest of the way, that means Detroit would have to go 7-2 and better, and the Twins would have to finish 6-4 and better for the Royals to outright miss the postseason. The Royals have a home series against the Giants. They go on the road to play Washington. They go on the road to play Atlanta. This is not murderer's row. Take care of your own business. There is no more margin for error with the Royals. There are no more excuses. Go get it done. The Royals had an A for the semester, and for some reason, they just started screwing up. Now, they could still pass the course for sure. You don't need to get an A on this midterm, but you can't go in there and blow the midterm. They need to get it together. This is looking like it could be an historic collapse from the Kansas City Royals. But you know what? Again, I am here to offer up positivity. You guys remember in Rocky III, Rocky was a champion. Rocky got knocked down a little bit. Clubber Lang, he beat Rocky. And then Clubber Lang, he killed Mick. Our boy Rocky lost the Eye of the Tiger. That's the same thing that happened to the Royals. They have lost the Eye of the Tiger. Well, you know what? I am here to be Apollo Creed in this analogy, and I am here to tell the Royals a very simple message.
Damn, Rock, come on! What's the matter with you?
Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
That's me screaming right now at Bobby Wood Jr. That's me screaming at Seth Lugo. That's me screaming at Cole Reagans. I mean, we'll get him tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. You got to start winning games today. And not today in a literal sense because they don't play today, but you get the point that I'm trying to make. There is no tomorrow. Rocky had all the excuses in the world. Adrian, I'm tired. I mean, Adrian, can we just go home? I'm tired. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of making the postseason? Are you afraid of the Baltimore Orioles? Are you afraid to be great? You got to get it together. I've seen you do this before. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Rob, they got to get it together, man. That's my analysis for the Royals. They got to get it together. They got a home series against the Giants. Rest up today. I don't know what you need to do. You need to come back to Kauffman Stadium this weekend, and you got to figure out a way to win 2 or 3. It's your final home stand. They got Viva Los Royals on Friday. They got fan appreciation. No fan can appreciate how they've been playing these last 3 weeks. They are on the verge of blowing this thing. Get it together.
Damn, Rock, come on! What's the matter with you?
Tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
That's my message to the Royals. There is no tomorrow. There is no, oh, it's one game. You're overreacting. No, we're past that point. The Royals need to win 5 of their next 9 games. They win 5 of their next 9 games during the postseason. You cannot continue to slip up and give these games away. You have been given a gift from the baseball gods. This is not a murderer's row of teams in any capacity. This is a schedule that you should be able to manage for the final week and a half of the season. Go get it done. You have given up all of your goodwill. You have fallen back to the pack enough. It is time for you to go and take care of business, and that starts tomorrow against the San Francisco Giants at Kauffman Stadium. Rob, let's talk a little bit of Thursday night football before we get back to the Royals. We are going to bounce back and forth today between the Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs. Also might get a little college football in today as we get you ready for the weekend. Missouri is undefeated. K-State is undefeated. Rob's team is not undefeated. There is no tomorrow for them. They're cooked. I'm here to tell you, I don't have any encouragement or great words for them. It is not going well for Rob's favorite college football team. But Rob, let's talk a little bit of Thursday night football today between the Jets and the Patriots. I think the Jets are a contender in some sense. I'm not putting them in the Kansas City conversation. I don't think they're as good as Houston. But right now, with the way that Baltimore looks, with the way that Cincinnati looks, there's not many teams that you can say, oh, that team's good right now in the AFC. The Jets went on the road and played San Francisco. They lost. They came back home to take care of business against Tennessee. This is a schedule that will allow the Jets to kind of get out and run a little bit before their Monday night football game against Buffalo. They got New England this week at home. They got Denver at home on extended rest. They got Minnesota in a neutral site. That's one of those early morning London games. And then you got Buffalo coming up in a month on Monday night football. This is is a game that if you are serious about winning your division and you think that you can be a contending team, you don't lose at home to a team that just played an overtime game on Sunday to the Seattle Seahawks. You figure out a way to win this game. It does not have to be pretty if you are the Jets. But you can breathe a little bit. You played on Monday Night Football. You played on Thursday Night Football. It has been a weird first 3 weeks if you are the New York Jets. Figure out a way to get your first win in the division. You get an extended rest, and then you have an interesting 3 weeks between this. I've actually been impressed with the New England Patriots. I think they've been a little scrappier than I thought they were going to be at the very beginning of the season. Ramondre Stevenson has got off to a really good start. They seem like they can play defense really well so far this season. So I do think it's going to be close. It's Thursday Night Football. You never know what's going to happen. Those games are always weird. It's a game in the division, so the game could be a little bit more competitive and closer than I think people are anticipating it being. I just don't know if New England has enough firepower, you would think, to be able to go on the road in a short week and win this game. I don't know if they have the quarterback play to go up against that Jets defense on the road. I do think the Jets win today. I think they take care of business, but again, it's Thursday Night Football. It's in the division. Anything can go wrong in Thursday Night Football. Coming up on the other side, we're going to bounce back and forth between the Royals and the Chiefs. I do have a Chiefs true or false question that I want to ask Rob. I'll ask you as well. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to bounce back and forth today between the Royals and the Chiefs. Let's talk a little Sunday Night Football. Rob, I have a question to ask you about who I think is emerging as one of the five best running backs in the NFL. Now, I know that you hate the idea that Bijan Robinson was used with a top 10 pick. But you know what? Bijan's been really good. So far this season, Bijan Robinson is averaging 5.2 yards per carry. We also know that he has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Now that we have seen the way that his career has played out, do you think that Bijan was worthy of a top 10 pick, true or false?
False, and I would tell you because we haven't seen his career play out. Like, he's in what, year two, year three? Saying it's true or false worth a pick in 2 years is too small of a sample size, in my opinion, Carrington. And What do I tell you about first round picks? What's the most valuable part of that first round pick? It's the fifth year, and it's the idea that you want to put that player on a second contract. Bijan Robinson has been very good in 2 years. Do you think he's getting a second contract in Atlanta, or do you think they're going to probably eject at the end of his 5 years? It's more likely they eject. We see that all the time in football. Josh Jacobs, the Chiefs, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they brought him back on a one-year deal. They didn't extend him. We see this all the time, Saquon Barkley to an extent. We see it all the time. I think it's too early to say success or failure. And I also think until we know about the second contract, I'm going to continue to say it's just TBD. But there's a lot of moving variables. Too early.
This is why I would argue that it's already a true and where you and I are a little bit different on these running back contracts and doing it. I think Bijan has pretty firmly put himself in top five running backs. He's a guy that can run for 100 yards on Sunday. He's a guy that could have 75 yards receiving. He's a real do-everything kind of back. You know that Bijan Robinson is the 16th highest paid running back in the National Football League? Now, I'm with you. The second contract is usually where you get in trouble with these guys. But the value in most of these running backs is when they're between the ages of 21 and 25. You don't want to be stuck paying them when they're 26 or older because it usually becomes a losing proposition. So sure, it was a massive acquisition cost to go get Bijan Robinson. You spent a top 10 pick on a running back and people tell you that you shouldn't. I mean, if you're going to spend a top 10 pick on a running back, he needs to be what Ezekiel Elliott was on his rookie contract. He needs to be what Saquon Barkley was on his rookie contract. He needs to be what Bijan Robinson is. He is their best offensive player. He is their most complete, their most skilled. He is a player. I'm not going to say that he could single-handedly beat Kansas City, but I would be stunned if Drake London had 100 yards. I would be stunned if Kyle Pitts had 100 yards in this game. Darnell Mooney, Ray McCloud. They've got good options. I don't think that either any of those other options are capable of having a big day against Kansas City. The only person I think could have a big day against Kansas City could be Bijan Robinson. He's in the Breece Hall, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry. I am the best running back in the NFL. I think that makes it worth the acquisition cost that they spent on him.
Yeah, we're just going to disagree on that, and that's fine. I think first-round picks should be guys who get multiple contracts with the team. That's how they are deemed success or failure, because, and maybe I'm holding every player to the quarterback standard, and that's maybe unfair by me, but how do we judge quarterbacks? Oh, they believed in that guy, they gave him a second deal, or oh, they knew right away he wasn't it, and they got out from under it. The reason we feel so low on Justin Fields, the Bears gave up on him. The reason we feel so bad about other quarterbacks after 5 years is, oh, Bryce Young might fall into this category. Oh, the team gave up on him. I hold that same standard for other positions,
you're
and
right,
that's maybe unfair.
You're right, but where I think it's different is your prime ends at this position different than the other ones. No one thinks that Patrick Mahomes is out of his prime at 29 years old. No one thinks that about Josh Allen. But you do think this about running backs, and I think we all agree the best time to have a running back is in the first 4 years, not in years 5 through 8. And that's where I think the Falcons have Bijan Robinson. And that's why I was curious to ask you that question, if you think that he's been worthy of a top 10 pick. 913-586-7965. Let me know what you guys think. Has Bijan been worth the 8th overall pick that the Falcons spent on him? I don't know if this is a theory, a hot take, a prediction. I don't know the exact word to attach to this feeling. Sunday to me feels like a Mecole Hardman day. Let me explain why I think this. Where's Mecole Hardman from? He's from Georgia, right? The Chiefs desperately need an explosive weapon, I think, in this game. It's indoors. It's Sunday night football. It's a fast track. I'm assuming Mecole's going to have a lot of family at this game. This is the Chiefs' first time playing in this new stadium. Mahomes has never played a regular season game here. So if Mahomes ain't played one there, you know Mecole Hardman hasn't played in a regular season game there. I think what you're going to see for them to kind of supplement the loss of Isaiah Pacheco, I think you're going to see an end around. I think you're going to see a gadget play. I think you're going to see them use the screen game as an extension of the run game. I could see Sunday being a Mecole Hardman day. Now, Mecole Hardman day is relative. I don't think he's having 75 yards in this game. But could Mecole Hardman have 3 catches for 40 yards and have a big catch in this game and be used, I kind of think that one of those other wide receivers kind of need to step up on this team. Whether it's Juju Smith-Schuster, whether it's Justin Watson, whether it's Mecole Hardman, they could use a good day from one of those other three options to kind of pick things up now with no Isaiah Pacheco. And you just don't know what version of Travis Kelce you're going to get. Travis Kelce could have 90 yards in this game. He could have 31 yards in this game receiving. That's kind of where we are in his career. I think this offense could really use one of those other role players to kind of step up and have a big day. I think Sunday could be a Mecole Hardman day.
I agree with the premise, and you know, if you're an NFL script believer or your NFL is, you know, not real believer, this is probably the game. But Carrington, I understand the feeling, I understand the sensation, but I pulled this up real quick. I wanted to look it up. Do you know what Mecole Hardman is dead last on the Chiefs among players who've taken the field in snaps at wide receiver this year? He's taken, wait for it, one snap at wide receiver this year. One. A singular one. Juju has 25. Sky Moore, who stinks, who we all think stinks, has 15. Justin Watson, 57. We don't need to worry about Worthy and Rice. Obviously, they are bigger contributors on this team. But Mecole Hardman has played a singular snap in 120 minutes of football. I understand the sensation. I understand the feeling. I understand the where he went to college. I understand the whole deal. But it would be a large pivot for the Chiefs to say, hey, we've been holding him back. Now let's unleash him against the Falcons. I think the player you're describing, the extension of the run game, jet sweep, bubble screen, that type of energy guy, is going to be Xavier Worthy. And I think, no offense to Mecole Hardman, when the Chiefs drafted Xavier Worthy, well, that was the last day they needed Mecole Hardman on the roster. Now, you're not going to cut him, you know, because you see injuries happen, but it would be surprising to me based on his usage, which you love a good snap count, that he goes from one all season to suddenly has a nice game. That would be a big change of pace.
Do you see any of these other wide receivers kind of stepping up in this role? Because Rashee Rice has been fantastic. 12 catches, 180 yards, scored a touchdown, had a great touchdown in week two. Xavier Worthy was more of a non-factor in week two than he was in week one, but it was going to be hard to follow up that with an even better game in week two. I mean, outside of that, Justin Watson has 47 yards. They don't have another catch from another wide receiver. Their wide receiver room, for we talk about, it's better than last year, it's deeper than last year, and I believe that to a certain extent. They have three wide receiver catches. It's Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Justin Watson. Juju doesn't have a catch. Mecole doesn't have a catch. Sky Moore doesn't have a catch. Half that room right now is out there getting cardio or helping on special teams. I think Atlanta can put up points. Atlanta has two really good running backs. They have a tight end that people like who hasn't lived up to expectations, but Kyle Pitts could have 45 yards in this game. They have four viable wide receivers, whether it's Mooney, Ray-Ray McCloud, Drake London. They've got a couple of guys that can catch passes. If this game turns out to be a little bit higher scoring, this game's 27-24, 31-27, if it's one of them, they're going to need one of the role players to kind of pick up the slack now with no Isaiah Pacheco. Or you just get a great Travis Kelce day. Travis Kelce goes out there, has six catches for 110 yards and two touchdowns. That will make up you not getting anything from Juju Smith-Schuster or all those other cast of characters.
Let me ask you a question. And I'm not trying to sidestep your question about the wide receivers. But you said it there, and it's something I've kind of hinted at. Bink has outright said it, so I'll credit him. Are we sure this wide receiver room is better than last year? Because you said you still feel like it is. But man, oh man, going through the stats, is it? And I think Marquise Brown injury plays a large role in why we're asking, is it? But Rashee Rice and Rashee Rice from last year, let's call that a cancel. They're both great. We know they're great.
But
after that,
but
it's very mid.
To be fair, though, you also have this version of Rashee Rice from week one, where you didn't have this version of Rashee Rice last year until week 10 of the season. So having that guy from day one is a contribution. I don't care what the numbers say. Xavier Worthy today is better than Kadarius Toney. He is better than Sky Moore, and he is a better wide receiver than MVS. I know he only has four catches. I've come to that conclusion already. So if we think number one and number two wide receiver are better than they were last year, Justin Watson cancels himself out. Right now, you have three capable wide receivers. Last year, I don't think you had three capable wide receivers. And if we agree, eventually they get a catch from another wide receiver. You are not going another 15 games and you only have three wide receivers who have caught the football. So you start to get a contribution from somebody else on this team. And Sunday Night Football seems like as good of a time of any.
To further my point, I haven't pulled the audio, but if I pulled audios from September 20th, 19th of last year, wouldn't we be saying the same thing? Eventually, Kadarius Toney's going to start catching the ball. Eventually, Sky Moore looks like the guy we saw in camp. Rasheed Rice will take a step forward. They have Kelsey. Kelsey's going to
eat. We wasn't saying that on this show. They might have been saying
the
this.
City
this
was
show
saying
was
this.
Not saying that. I was not saying that.
That's fair.
I was not like, hey, Sky Moore's going to turn things around. No, Sky Moore was not going to turn things around. He's very fortunate that he is still on this team. No, Sky Moore was not turning things around for the Chiefs offense last year. But, I mean, you would agree, Xavier Worthy is going to be better than what he is. He is going to be better in week 8, week 9 than he is in weeks 1 and weeks 2.
I agree with that.
Yeah, they just get him more involved in the offense. It's a very limited sample size. It's only been 2 games. He only has 7 targets. What does that look like if you up it and you try to get him the ball 4 or 5 times? They didn't try to really get him involved in the run game. You're right. Maybe the guy who's catching the jet sweeps isn't going to be Mecole Hardman. Maybe that person is going to be Xavier Worthy. He has 2 carries on the season. Let's see what he does if you give him 20 carries over the course of the year. What can he do with those? Can he turn those into big plays? So I think we are just scratching the surface very obviously of what he can do. And I think his development will be able to answer your question on whether or not this wide receiver room is truly different, because right now it is kind of banged up. You were expecting to have Hollywood Brown. You don't have him in the fold. And then outside of that, you got a lot of guys who, let's call it, they have failed in various ways with the Chiefs. Mecole Hardman has failed in some way with the Chiefs. Sky Moore went from your top 60 pick to not being able to get on the field right now. Juju Smith-Schuster, I wouldn't say that he's failed, but I think you kind of knew coming into it that Juju was a little bit damaged goods, and whatever you got from him was going to be a plus and a bonus. So that back half of the room are a lot of guys that either have fizzled out as high draft picks or are coming in banged up a little bit.
I agree with you on the notion that I believe Xavier Worthy has a high ceiling and will be better this year. But, and again, you're correct, it was not this show. This show never said this about Kadarius Toney. If there was one thing this show was steadfast on, it's Kadarius Toney is Monopoly money. He's fake. He's not real. Please do not buy into Kadarius Toney. At least I was saying that from the trade. You came around pretty quick on that front. But I feel like there are definitely fans and maybe even media members whose sentences about Xavier Worthy are going to sound eerily similar to that of Kadarius Toney. We've seen the explosion. Once you get the ball in his hands, he's going to develop. Now, I think Worthy will, but it does have a similar sensation. I'm willing to give a larger sample size, the same way we talked about yesterday with Travis Kelce stats. Let's just see, but I think it's something to make a little note in your head. Maybe in week 4, maybe after that Monday night game against the Saints, we have a conversation of, is the wide receiver room all that better and all that different? Because through 2 games, Patrick Mahomes is throwing to 1.5 wide receivers. He's kind of throwing to Worthy. He's throwing to Rashee Rice. He's not throwing to Juju. Thank God he's not throwing to Sky Moore. He's not really throwing to Justin Watson. There's a lot of receivers on the roster that are out there getting first team Fitbit. So let's give a larger sample size, but it definitely seems noteworthy to me.
I want to play this for you. This is the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, Matt Nagy. He was asked earlier today on how he thinks Kareem Hunt looks, who has been practicing with the Chiefs these last couple of days. Here's the OC.
Yeah, I think he looks good, and there's a lot that goes to it, but for his situation, just kind of relearning the offense and getting back into the sync of the physical parts, perhaps. But there's going to be a little bit of time that goes with it. But for the most part, he's been impressive, and I think for us, that's a good thing, because to me, I had him in 2017 when he was just here, and I really. You know, the person, the player, all that, you see it there, but you also understand the process and what he's getting into. So yesterday was day 1. We'll see where day 2 takes us today.
I think there are a couple of questions heading into Sunday Night Football. Number 1 is, what is the run game going to look like now with the loss of Isaiah Pacheco? I think there's a lot of optimism around Carson Steele. I'm one of those people that are optimistic about him, but he's also never done it before, hasn't done it at this level. So that, by definition, makes it a question mark. What kind of production are you going to get from the position? And is Kareem Hunt going to play in this team? Having Kareem Hunt, even though he just got here and we don't know about the conditioning, I trust him a little bit more than I trust Keontae Ingram at this point, especially because I know in the very limited role that I think Kareem would have on this, I know he can do it. If it's third and one, I trust Kareem Hunt to move the chains. If he needs to catch a pass out of the backfield, if he needs to be a goal line back for this team, I think we have 8 years of data to suggest that he can come in a very limited role. He could help you in this week and then ramp up and you potentially use him more 2-3 weeks and down the line as needed. So I think one of the question marks is the run game. What kind of production can you expect from the run game? The other one is at left tackle. They benched their left tackle. Here is what Matt Nagy had to say about the decision and if they've made one at the position.
No, you know, we talked through all that, and you know, coach in the end will go ahead and make that decision. But for us right now, it's just the biggest thing is making sure that whoever it is that they're ready and that these guys are able to really just continue to stay positive and be great teammates and leaders. And I think that's the beauty of this game throughout.
Am I reading too much into it? As today was the day to come out and quiet any speculation and rumors about who the left tackle is going to be. I mean, the offensive coordinator was asked directly, have you guys made a decision on who the starting left tackle is going to be? And you just heard his answer. He didn't answer it. It just seems to me if it was 100% and you and I are kind of operating with the they don't bench rookies early, we expect Kingsley to start at left tackle, it feels like today was the day to say it. Now, Andy Reid talks tomorrow, so maybe the plan is Andy's going to answer that question tomorrow after another day of practice, and we'll get it. But today felt like it was the day to end a left tackle controversy on who it's going to be, whether it's Wanye or it's going to be Kingsley. And I didn't hear him throw any water on the fire of there's a real question about what they're going to do at a very important position on the field.
I think because they're not throwing water on that fire, and knowing what we know about Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, I think when Andy Reid speaks tomorrow, which, by the way, he speaks for like 2 minutes tomorrow, just giving people a peek behind the curtain. His Friday media availability is always fast. It's usually injuries, 1-2 questions, all right, we good, and then he's out of there. I think tomorrow he announces Wanye Morris is starting at left tackle.
Oh, wow.
That is the feel I get.
You think they're going with a switch?
I think Monday he hinted at it. We saw Sam McDowell's story that, you know, the Chiefs haven't committed to a left tackle. Wednesday, we heard from Wanye Morris in the locker room where he said to the media, hey, you know, we're both taking snaps at left tackle right now, which means the Chiefs were using practice time to figure out left tackle. Matt Nagy today, who is a former head coach of the NFL and an Andy Reid disciple, knows if I go out there and say Kingsley's our guy, we all are going to be talking about Kingsley. I think they are going to announce that Wanye Morris is the starter tomorrow, or you're going to get another non-answer tomorrow, and non-answers to me sound like they're making a switch, and they just don't want to announce it. But if you're sticking with the guy that you've played a left tackle, you would have said it by now. You wouldn't have hidden in secrecy and, oh, let's see what the Falcons are thinking. You would have come out and said, yeah, Kingsley's our guy. He had a rough week. We trust him, though. He's that guy going forward. I think they're making a switch.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. If I had to handicap it right now, I think that Wanye is the slight favorite to start. And I feel if you were confident in your decision to start Kingsley, you wouldn't at least leave it very, it seems very ambiguous right now. It's very much up in the air. I don't know who's going to start at left tackle. They had a chance to answer that question on Wednesday. They had a chance to answer that question today. They didn't answer that question. Yesterday, we got the quote from Wanye that both players are preparing as if they're going to be the starter. It seems like they have a real competition. Now, let me ask you this question, and I understand it's not quarterback, but I'll apply a quarterback saying. What's the saying about quarterback? If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. Right now, it appears that they have two left tackles. Does that mean right now that they have zero left tackles? That's not a position that you want to be figuring out. You can figure out some positions on the fly. This is arguably the most important position on the offensive line. Is the saying that we have about quarterback, is that now applicable to what their situation is at left tackle? That heading into week three for a position that had no competition, it feels like for 5 months, now they have a true competition and a true roster battle days before their next game?
The short answer to me is yes. Like, if the one thing, if we were having this conversation and the date was, you know, May 19th, he got drafted. You know, on May 19th, me, you, Bink, you know, who, Bob, Dusty, everyone on the station may have speculated, hey, I wonder who the left tackle is going to be. They didn't speculate. The minute they hit camp, Kingsley Suomataia was starting at left tackle. He took every first team rep at left tackle at training camp. He took every first team rep at left tackle in preseason. I remember Rich Holtis was on the show and he said maybe give him an extra two or three series with the two to get him, you know, more comfortable, but he is your left tackle. Everyone pointed to Kingsley as left tackle. Kingsley's a left tackle. Kingsley. 2 games in and we're waffling. So yes, the short answer to your question is if you have two left tackles, you don't have one. And I would tell you from watching the team last year, it wasn't like Wanya Morris was out there being gangbusters. He was rough. And the minute Donovan Smith was healthy, I mean, the minute he came off the injury report, Wanya, you had a good run, buddy. Come sit on the bench next to me. You can watch Donovan Smith win a Super Bowl. I would say yes. If you have two left tackles, you do not have a singular left tackle.
Coming up on the other side, we'll take 5 minutes and we'll take a trip out to Lawrence, Kansas to learn more about their quarterback situation. They might be making a switch in the interim on what they're going to do. We'll also talk about the NFC South is turning into one of the more intriguing divisions in the National Football League. The NFC South is home to the Chiefs' Week 3 opponent. We'll get to that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, we are going to take a trip to Lawrence, Kansas. We'll learn more about their quarterback situation and if Jalen Daniels is just one more interception away from being replaced as the quarterback of the Jayhawks. Rob, I look at the NFC South, and I think Bryce Young should kind of see this could be me. Think about all three of the starters for the good teams in that division. Derek Carr. Things didn't work out in Oakland/Las Vegas. He got a second chance. He is off to a very good start to his season. Sam Darnold, or excuse me, that's the NFC North, excuse me. Baker Mayfield didn't work in Cleveland, didn't work in Carolina. He's now there. Look at the opportunities that he has. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was in Washington, went to Minnesota, and now look, you are in a good situation in Atlanta. Bryce Young should look at those examples and say, hey, this doesn't define where I am. I can still turn things around in my career. It is probably not going to work out in Carolina. You have been really bad in your first 18 games, and I think we all see the writing on the wall what's going to happen this weekend. Carolina is going to get a jolt with now a veteran quarterback in Andy Dalton. They're going to play a lot better than they have the first 2 games of the season, and unless an injury happens, I don't think Bryce Young is getting his job back. Andy Dalton is a better quarterback than he is today. That's not to say he'll be a better quarterback than him in 2 years, in 3 years, but today, Andy Dalton is probably better equipped to help Carolina be competitive and win games than where Bryce Young is. The NFC South is a really interesting division. I don't know who I would consider to be the favorite. If you're asking me, I probably would consider Tampa Bay to be the best team in that division. But New Orleans' offense has been very fun to watch so far this season. And Derek Carr kind of looks like that guy that was in the MVP conversation now, what, 6-7 years ago? Kirk Cousins has a bunch of weapons around him. You got a top 10 running back in Bijan Robinson. You got great weapons on the outside, a bunch of different options. I think that's going to be a fun division to watch as it unfolds over the course of the remainder of the season, and we'll see what happens. We're about to head to Lawrence, Kansas for a couple of minutes to catch up with Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks. They had so much hope, so much promise coming into the season. Rob had a ticket that they were going to make the college football playoff. It has not gotten off to that kind of start. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by Michael Swain, who covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Michael, man, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing good, man. Happy to have you on the show today. Is the answer as simple for KU of what's gone wrong? Is it just the quarterback position and they haven't gotten what they expected? Are there other things that you were seeing wrong with this team?
Yeah, I think sometimes in football it can be kind of simple, right? How important the quarterback position is, and KU just has not gotten the level of quarterback play that I think a lot of people expected going into the year. You know, Jalen Daniels has 6 interceptions. That's more than he had between the 2022 and 2023 seasons combined. Now, granted, he played 12 games between those 2 years, but he's just turned the ball over too much, and it's put KU in some really, really tough positions. And I think you look at the timing of some of the interceptions, right? Both of them have led to scores at the end of the first half, which take momentum that was going KU's way and flip it. And I think for KU, it's a talented team, right? It's a veteran, experienced team. But it is not a team that can overcome your quarterback turning the ball over 2 to 3 times per game. And I think on the bright side, right, the defense has been pretty good. Devin Neal's looked awesome. But if you're debilitated by your quarterback turning the ball over as much as Jalen has, it is really hard to win football games. It doesn't really matter how well you can play in different phases at different times. But right now, I think a lot of what has limited KU during non-con play has been the quarterback position.
Michael, when you're watching him, do you think it's more physical or do you think it's more mental? Because I saw Jalen Daniels play in the game against Illinois last year, and I remember coming on the show and saying he looked like RG3 to me. Like, there was something special about the way that he was moving. Then I watched him play Illinois this year. That was not the same quarterback that we saw play that team just a season ago. And right now, it looks like he is really struggling to read defenses. The confidence is shook. Do you think this is more of a mental problem right now or a physical problem?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it really is mental because you can still see throughout the times of games that he still has the talent, right? You see the mobility, right? The 2 runs he had against UNLV last week, right? Showcase, he's still got that speed and mobility. What I think made Jalen so great during 2022 and 23 was his ability to read defenses, make the right throws, and put the throws in an accurate position. What I see right now is a quarterback that's a second late right now on it. And if you look at his interceptions, 2 of them against Illinois and then, you know, honestly, 2 of them against UNLV. It's a quarterback that's not seeing things as quickly as he should, right? The one at the end of the first half to Quentin Skinner, you know, he should see the safety in the middle of the field who can cover off that seam route to Quentin Skinner. You look at the interception in the second half, right? He should see that there's a linebacker within 5 yards of Trevor Cardell. And so I think so much of it right now is just, I think just it comes down to confidence in your ability to read a defense and being able to get through your progressions quickly. And he just isn't doing that consistently. And so now it's going to be a question of, can he build up his own confidence over the course of 1 or 2 weeks to where, hey, maybe we're talking at the end of October. It looks like the Jalen Daniels that fans have come to see in past seasons.
Let's say that nothing has changed for KU this weekend. He goes on the road. He throws a couple interceptions. KU loses a heartbreaker. Is there a chance that he is replaced at some point in the next, let's say, 14 days?
I don't think so. And I say that because I look at the quarterbacks who are behind him, and you've got guys that I think have bright futures, right? I think Isaiah Marshall is going to be a multi-year starter for KU by the time his career is over, but he's a true freshman. And Cole Ballard is a redshirt freshman, and he had his own turnover issues last year in an offense that was toned down almost entirely to be very basic. And if you want to win football games this year and win consistently, to me, Jalen is the guy you got to roll with. And you got to figure out what is limiting him right now and his getting through his reads and reading things correctly and really find ways for him to be able to get through this. And so whether that means you pivot to more being all right, we're going to move to be a very ground focused team and maybe build more off play action and do more just straight up deep shots instead of trying to be this 50-50 balance team, I think that might be a more maybe realistic pivot than seeing a quarterback change made for KU.
Last thing here quickly, Michael, do you have them winning this weekend? Do you have them going on the road and beating West Virginia?
Oh, this screams one score game to me, and I still haven't come to grips with what I'm going to pick here because it was a game going into the year. I thought, you know, I had KU starting 3-0 and losing this game in Morgantown. And this is a backs against the wall game. And I think West Virginia's defense is there to be gotten. It's just going to come down to how well Jalen plays, and maybe having Jim Zabrowski on the field will help him. So I'm still on the fence with this one. I might be going back and forth until I kind of finish my prediction tomorrow. But I think for the show right now, I'll be positive, and I'll go with KU's going to win in a one-score game.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today, taking 5 minutes to talk about the Jayhawks as they go on the road to play West Virginia this Saturday. Michael, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. Rob, you are our resident KU expert. Do you think it's more physical or mental right now with Jalen Daniels?
Mental. I think it's 100% mental. I think so many of the picks, if I wanted to be a homer, I could say they're rust-based. But I just don't think he has trust in playing football right now. Like, it's an extreme example, and Deshaun Watson's kind of gross, but I think you'll understand the analogy I'm making. When Deshaun Watson first came back to football, he was terrible. You know why he was terrible? He hadn't played football in like 2 years. Jalen Daniels hadn't played competitive football in a year. And I'm not even going to count the Lindenwood game. He played a half. It's like preseason game, going a half speed. I think it's rust, and I think the game is like, no, we're talking about with freshmen, the game moves too fast for them. I think that's what you're seeing with Jalen Daniels. The game is moving too fast for him, and he can't mentally make those decisions, and that has led to some really bad turnovers.
Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Kansas City Royals. The one thing they are missing is the one thing they don't have. I know that doesn't make sense, but trust me, it makes sense. I'll explain. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.